All right, this morning, I have on my heart to bring the word to you. You know, as we've often said, when we come and we approach the word of God, right, Pastor Joe? We have our friend, Pastor Joe, retired pastor, friend of ours, family. Years ago when I first met him, I reminded him today that I was at a meeting and he got up and he introduced himself at a minister's meeting down in New Jersey. He said, I'm Joe Catanese. And I'm Italian. That's how he introduced himself to the other ministers.
That sounds like Joe.
And then another guy followed up, Pastor Nicholas Fontana. He stood up and he said, "I'm Nicholas Fontana." And he's about this high. And he goes, "And I'm Italian."
Oh.
It was time for, Pastor Doug to get up. I got up and I thought, everybody in this room's Italian. So I was a traveling minister at the time. Pastor Christina and I were traveling, and I stood up and I go, "I'm Reverend Doug Mitchell, and my wife Christine, and I married an Italian, or at least part Italian." And then I tagged it with, "I want to be Italian," you know. So everybody. Anyway, it was a fun memory, but it's always nice to have Pastor Joe. He brings not only his musical talent, but he brings a supply of the Holy Spirit with him. And he comes it's just a blessing. He's a blessing to know and have as friend and family. So we welcome you.
Thank you so much.
So let's pray. So go before the Word. Every time you come to the Word, it's going to do one of two things, perhaps both. Either reinforce something you already know about God and make that area stronger in your life. Or it's going to show you something brand new you've never seen before, because the Word of God is living, it's active, it's powerful. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we approach your Word. Holy Spirit, it's not important what I say, it's important what you say.
Yes.
So speak through me.
Yes.
Speak through your Holy Written Word. Lead and guide us into all truth today. And help us to learn some things that we could become more effective, more mature in the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. C.T. Studd, famous missionary evangelist from England, he was a cricketer. If you don't know what a cricketer is, he played cricket professionally. And at one point in his life, he becomes a Christian. He actually, I never understood the game of cricket, by the way. I watched it one day. I mean, right in the middle, they have tea. I don't get that. But he was a cricketer, and he heard a minister speak one day. And the minister began to come, talk to him about being born again. Talk to him about faith in Christ. And he had a mental assent to who Jesus was. And he said, "Yeah, I believe Jesus. Yeah. I believe he died on the cross." That was as far as it went. And the minister said to him, "That's not enough." Mm. He paused and he said, "Okay." This is back in the 1890s. This was not something that happened in the 1970s or last week, he said, "Well, what do you mean?" He says, "Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart and confess him with your mouth." And he said, "Okay, I'll do it." And so he confessed him with the mouth. He said, at that moment, he said he got born again. And at that moment, his whole life changed. He said the Bible came alive to him. And he began to preach all over the world. He ended up founding an Africa mission. He's famous for a particular quote that I want to call your attention to today. And this is going to set the stage for the book of Nehemiah that we're going to take a little journey through in these next couple of weeks. And C.T. Studd, he wrote this, and it has always been one of those quotes that I just kind of carry with me as a minister, as a believer. And he said this. He said, "Some people want to live within the sound of a church chapel bell, but I want to run a mission a yard from the gate of hell."
Wow.
He was about rescuing people.
Yes.
He was about getting the gospel out that changes lives. And as I was praying, the Lord over these last couple of weeks, you know, we did the entire series on Teach Us, Lord, to Number Our Days out of Psalm 90 and verse 12, and then Ephesians 5, that we would redeem the time because the days are evil. And at that same time that I was doing that sermon series and preparing it for you, the Lord just kind of kept me reading the book of Nehemiah. And I must have read the book of Nehemiah over the last 4 or 5 weeks. I must have read the book of Nehemiah about 6, maybe 7 times. And I felt like there was something there for our church. I felt like there was something there for us, for our people and the believers that call Westchester Family Church their church home. And so I began to put this together and pray through it, and C.T. Studd's quote just popped back up in my spirit. And I remembered that when God called Pastor Christine and I to start this church over 20 years ago, it was not the easiest thing to do. And it was actually probably one of the most impossible things that we had ever attempted to do. And I even had another minister try to talk me out of it. He said, your family's going to starve. He said, you don't have enough money in the bank. And I said, but I have a big God.
Yes, amen.
And I believe that that has carried us.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And we've still, through COVID, through different places, through being booted out of the library, going to the haunted mansion on the hill.
Knights of Columbus.
Beyond the blue chair, glory to God. And then back around here, where we started. And I believe that God has a word for us. And it's a word of the fight of faith. Is it worth fighting for? And I went to Nehemiah. So if you would, turn with me to the book of Nehemiah. Is it worth fighting for? Nehemiah is an awesome book. It's an inspiring book. And it's not so big that you can't read it in one sitting. And it's fascinating when we look at this. There are some truths I'm going to bring out in the next couple of weeks. There'll be overlapping truths. There'll be things that will kind of sound similar, but I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring those out, us as a church, to prepare us. Because as we have walked in this new year, starting on January 1st, God teach us to number our days. Teach us to redeem the time, to buy it back. Is it worth fighting for? Let's look in verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakalai, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 12th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down. Its gates are burned with fire. So it was then that I heard these words. That I sat down and wept, mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those whom you love, you and observe your commandments. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept your commandments, the statutes, not the ordinances, which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, and though some of you were cast out to the furthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people for whom you have redeemed by your great power and your strong hand. Lord, I pray, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and your prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. I want you to see something. This man just opens up his prayer journal and you see his heart pouring out to God. Pouring out to God. He sees his heart. God just literally just shows up on the scene. And I want you, the first thing that kind of jumped out is that sometimes you need to find yourself faithful in those little things. Find yourself faithful in doing the things that you're doing. That's when God shows up. Nehemiah was not an ordained minister. I looked on the platform this morning during worship, and I thought, dear God, there's 5 licensed ordained ministers on this platform. If we can't get a church built in Mount Kisco, then we need to go home, crawl under our bed, and call it quits. I looked at the power that was up here, leading you in worship, of the experience, and I thought, Lord, you've decided to build a church here. And you've sent the resources, and you've sent the people. And now it's time to do some things in preparation. Find yourself in the little things faithful. Now that speaks to a lot of things. I noticed at the end of his prayer that he's pouring out his heart. He hears of the distress of the people in Jerusalem. This is after the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar, and now we see that the children of Israel have been scattered all over the place. And you have a Jewish man who's serving in the household of the king. He's in a place of prominence. It's a lowly position, but it's still a place of prominence. And I think it's interesting that he says, I was the cupbearer for the king. Why is that important? Because what stage you are at in your life, whatever you are fighting for, because perhaps you're fighting for your family on some things. Perhaps you're fighting for your health on some things. Perhaps you're fighting even in your workplace, but you're fighting to maybe even stay hanging on to Christ. You're fighting for that. Is it worth fighting for? Find yourself faithful in those little things. You see, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king, a trusted man. He was obviously faithful in the little things. That meant that when the king was served wine, he took a taste just in case somebody was putting something in it. Every time he did his job, he was putting his life on the line. But now he hears of his people, he's in a comfortable spot. Other than every time he takes a sip of wine, he wonders if he's going to die. But he lives in the palace. He's in a comfortable spot. I'm telling you something. During COVID, people have gotten comfortable with certain things. We've gotten comfortable with everything trying to be as convenient as possible. We've gotten comfortable. We're not wanting to step out of our comfort zone. But here Nehemiah hears of God's people in distress, and it awakens him to what? What does he do first? Mm-hmm. He starts praying. Yeah. He starts praying. But first of all, I want you to see something that came from him that I believe only God can do in any of us, that we would have compassion. When we are moved with compassion, the miraculous power of God is released. When we're moved with the compassion of God, not the anger. He could have been angry. What do you mean the gates are broken down? What do you mean that they've been burned with fire? What do you mean that the wall's broken down and our enemies are just running all over and making us a laughing stock? I'm just outraged. He didn't say that. He looked inward first and was moved with compassion and repentance. Lord, forgive my father's family. Forgive me. Because you told us that if we got away from you, we'd be scattered. And this is why we're seeing this. He understood and he was moved with compassion. So the first thing, find yourself faithful in the little things. Find yourself faithful in the little things. The second thing, follow compassion, not anger. You say, why should I follow compassion, not anger? There's things that are going on in the world that are just not right. That's been happening since Cain killed Abel.
That's true.
Mankind, left to its own devices, left to just government intervention, is not nice to each other. It shows up in the form of hatred. It shows up in the form of racism. It shows up in the form of, you name it, it shows up. But a heart that is not born again cannot fix a heart that's not born again. Mm. Only God can transform a life. And so, don't be moved with anger. Be moved with compassion. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34, you can turn there if you would like, please. You can keep your finger in Nehemiah because this is the main point of what we're going to be hanging out in. But there in Matthew chapter 20, we see Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion. And compassion will move you to action. Compassion will move you to action if you will allow it. And especially when the compassion of God starts rising up on the inside of you, you'll want to do something. It says, so Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. This was the story of Jesus healing two men who were blind. He had compassion on them. When the compassion of God starts to rise up on the inside of you, one of my friends, you might know him as Reverend Cliff Graham. He says, when the compassion of God starts to rise up on the inside of you, God's miracle power is ready to work in people's lives. When the compassion of God comes up on the inside. I heard Oral Roberts say the same thing, that when he would look out and he would see the people who were hurting and broken. And the reason why so many amazing miracles happened in his ministry is if you ever watched some of those old reels of Oral Roberts, when he would take a child, a crippled child in his hands, he would literally weep. He would weep because he was moved with compassion. And the compassion of God, through that believer, through that evangelist, God was able to bring healing to many, many people. Go back to Nehemiah. Go back to Nehemiah. We see a couple of things that happen other than just the compassion. We find that he begins to pray. And I would tell you, find God's plan through prayer and through the Word. Find God's plan. When you hear about something, when you're looking at whatever it is that you're fighting for, find God's plan. Be moved with compassion and resist being moved by anger. Find God's plan. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first what? The kingdom of God and what?
Righteousness.
His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. What is he talking about? Putting the kingdom first makes a difference. Put the kingdom first in everything you do. If you're fighting for your family, if you're fighting for your health, put the kingdom of God first. God will never be a debtor to a human being. Step out of that comfort zone. Step out of that comfort zone. Find yourself in that faithful spot. Faithful in the little. Wasn't it Jesus who said, I'll make you faithful over much, or I'll make you ruler over much. So faithful in those small things. When nobody's looking, when nobody realizes how much you pray for the church, when nobody realizes you get here early to vacuum, when nobody realizes you check the bathrooms out and you clean them, even though there is a janitor for this building, but you clean them anyway. When you're here before anybody else to open up the doors, to rehearse a musical instrument, to literally break down a musical instrument every week and put it in your own car and drive it back to your house, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. When you are doing those things, you're faithful in the little things. What am I talking about? I'm talking about lessons that we can learn from Nehemiah as a church that you can apply to your personal life too. Find yourself faithful in those little things. Find yourself moved with God's compassion when you see that single mom who's struggling with those kids. And you have the ability to do something about it. When you see and hear of 600 families that are being ministered to through the Interfaith Food Pantry. 600. I remember 20 years ago when this church started and we got involved right away. We got involved right away thanks to Beverly Card and Marcia. We got involved in the food pantry right away. And we started trying to be a part of what we were doing. We were the only Bible-believing, gospel-believing church that was a part of the food pantry for the longest time. Why? Because we were moved with compassion. People were hurting. Back then, I think they had... I remember one day when Beverly came in on a Wednesday night and she said, Pastor, we're up to 200 families. And she was blown away. They're at 600 families, 19 zip codes. What are they doing? They're giving something natural. But we should also be moved with compassion from a spiritual perspective. The indictment against evangelical churches like ours and spirit-filled Pentecostal churches like ours has been, oh, they talk a good talk, but do they do anything? I want us to do more. I don't know how. I don't have the mechanism to know how. But I have a church in my heart that is bigger than what we see. And it's more effective than where we're at now. And so when we're looking at these things, we find ourselves faithful in the little. We find ourselves moved with compassion, not anger. Because man's anger doesn't bring about the righteousness of God. It never has. It just ends up being messy. Find God's plan through prayer and through His Word. Find God's plan through prayer and His Word. When we find God's plan, that any step you take for that thing you're fighting for, family, health, job situation, church, Jesus is the head of the church. The church is a priority to Jesus.
Yes, amen.
I'm not trying to manipulate and say it's about Westchester Family Church and Pastor Doug and Pastor Christine. It's long gone. It's not that. It's about God's plan for the world to know Him. It's through the church. The church. The called out ones. The local congregations that walk in the things of God. That when people walk through those doors, there's restoration. When people walk through those doors, they find a place. When people walk through those doors, they sense the love of God. They sense the love of God. They sense God speaking. Because I'm the best communicator. Not because we have the best singers. Not because we have the best this, that, or the other, the prettiest chairs, the prettiest building. No! It's because there's something that God wants to do. He wants to do business here. When this church came about, it was to influence Westchester County. Over, what is it, 1.5 million people live in Westchester County? If it stood alone in the middle of the United States, it would be considered a major city? Mm. Once you get God's plan, what do you do, Pastor? What do you do? Focus on His help. Aren't you glad He helps us? He sent His Holy Spirit to be our helper, our paraclete, Pastor Joe, our paraclete, our helper who stands by us in the middle of those difficult situations. You're fighting for your family. The Holy Spirit stands by you in those situations. There is restoration. Nehemiah was an average guy. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't even a priest. God found him faithful. God's going to find you. And there may be a ministry that you didn't even know existed that you step into and develops and flourishes and comes alive because you were willing. You were willing to be moved with compassion. Not just because somebody got up here and said, "Oh, we need 4 more teachers." But instead, you saw children who needed to be taught the things of God. And there's compassion that rises up on the inside. When you see teenagers that seem to be drifting with every wind that's blowing around. They say that young people are so influenced by culture, so influenced by social media, that they literally will abandon their faith. Even if they were raised in church, by the time they get to be in college, even good churches. What are we missing? We're missing something. We're missing something to be able to pour into them. Are we moved in with compassion, or are we just going to be angry at the world? See, God's calling us to be moved with compassion, to pray and find out His plan. How can we minister to hundreds of kids? I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible. If we'll follow His plan, He will give us a plan to see this church thrive. To see this church reach. This church maybe even house the food pantry rather than just be a part of it. Maybe we're the ones who house it. Maybe we're the ones who actually have the facility that accommodates it in a more conducive way. Perhaps we would be the church that would do that. That would be a city set on a hill. Perhaps we would be the church that ministers to people that maybe, you know, that church didn't want them. Maybe we would be that church that shows the love of God in such a powerful way that when they come through the door, they just begin to weep. I've been a part of ministries like that, and it's addicting. When you get in a ministry that happens like that, I remember we would have some interesting people that would show up at the church down in Florida that I was on staff at. I mean, people who were hurting, people that had mental issues. I mean, one lady walked in and she was just really messed up. But you know what we did? We ministered to her. We ministered to her. We got her involved in our ladies' ministry. We got her involved in a homeless shelter. We got her involved where she could be ministered to. That's what God's calling the church to, that we would be His hands, His feet in this community. That God would give us the key to reaching people like never before. Like never before. I want you to see that in Nehemiah, and it came to pass, chapter 2, verse 1. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, "Why is your face so sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." So I became dreadfully afraid. Now, in the context, you don't approach the king unless he asks you. And I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad? When the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire." The king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the Lord God of heaven, and I said to the king, "If it please the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." That's quite a big ask from the guy who brings wine to the king. That's a huge ask. He was afraid, but then he prayed. You might be afraid of what God puts in front of you. God might be dealing with you to get more involved in this church. And you're like, "I don't know how I could do that." I believe that this year we've got to stop being just a Sunday and Wednesday church. We've got to figure out how to do more. How to be involved to reach more people. To see our youth thrive. To see the children's ministry blossom once again with multiple classes. There was a time in this church where we had three classes. We had three classes, or did we have four?
Baby, kids.
We had three. How many? Three? We had three classes of children. So that they were ministered to according to their age. I believe that God wants that again. But that's going to take laborers and harvesters. That's going to take God saying, "What part do I play? Are you moved with compassion?" Not anger, but compassion. Find yourself faithful in those things. Get God's plan and pray it through. Focus on His help. He'll be there to help you. And then fix your eyes on being spiritually aware. Don't numb out. Don't numb out. What's your part? What's your part? Ask the Lord. What's my part? I want you to notice that we see a glimpse into Nehemiah and his life. We see what he was like because he's writing from his own personal perspective. And he writes this journal on his prayer life. He writes this journal on what he's going through. And God gives him instruction and gives him an impetus. An open door comes to him. I believe that this church needs to be ready for an open door. An open door comes to him and says, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Are we asking big so that the kingdom of God is expanded? Seek first the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We're going to keep going in the book of Nehemiah as we walk through it. Is it worth fighting for? That's the question.
Yes.
So if there's something in your family, take these principles, apply them to your family. Be faithful in that little thing. Be faithful in that little thing. You know, find yourself faithful. Be moved with the compassion of God. Step out of your anger and step back into, stay in. Just as I said last week, keep yourself in the love of God. When you keep yourself in the love of God, you won't get over into anger. Keep yourself in the love of God. That's what Jude told us last week. The book of Jude. Keep yourself in the love of God. So be moved with compassion, not anger. And find God's plan through prayer. Focus on his help. And be aware. Fix your spiritual eyes. Fix your spiritual eyes on what he's doing around you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I've done my best to just minister out of my heart that you've given me. That there are some things that are worth fighting for. Our families, our health, our church. Father, that you would teach us how to fight the way you want us to fight. The good fight of faith. Not a natural fight. We have enough of that going on. Father, you're calling us to a spiritual fight. A spiritual fight that the weapons of our warfare are not natural, but they are mighty through God. So, Father, thank you for that. Thank you for that. Show us as we walk through this book, the truths that you want us to know as a church and us to know personally in the name of Jesus. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never asked Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior, but today you want to ask him to become your Lord and Savior. Maybe it's like you're like C.T. Studd, and you've acknowledged some things mentally up here, but you've never really taken that next step to say, Jesus, you're my Lord. If that's you in this room or watching online right now, I want you just to bow your head. We're going to pray a simple prayer together. And if you mean this prayer in your heart, God's going to meet you right where you are. And you'll be born again. You'll be saved by the power of God. Amen. All right, let's just pray together. Say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. That he died for my sins. I receive his forgiveness. And I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. From this day forth, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe it was a rededication prayer for your life, giving your life back to God, maybe you've wandered away, he'll take you back. 1 John 1:9 says this, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we are a Spirit-filled church. We believe in the power of God. We believe that God wants to fill you with power from on high. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence and speaking in other tongues. It is a Bible experience. It is an experience that will change your life. And if you desire to be full of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to just avail myself for prayer down front. If you have prayer for any need, you would like prayer for healing, you would like prayer for a situation you're going through, I'm just going to be available down front this morning. And as soon as we close in prayer, I'd like to ask everybody to please be respectful as I'm down here praying for people. And please take your fellowship toward the back of the church and the foyer. But let's stand together and let's have our sending out verse. Our sending out verse is Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8. And we use this as a prayer, sending our entire congregation out with the blessing and the protection of the Lord. So let's do it together. Say, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. We will see you next Sunday for Hot Soup Sunday. And you are dismissed.